Many thanks and good afternoon, everyone. Buongiorno a tutti, or something like that. And let me start by thanking you, Chairman Roberto Fontalan, for the very nice introduction and for hosting us all here. I would also like to thank Minister Angelino Alfano for his very interesting and insightful remarks. I listened very carefully to your speech, and I really appreciate the cooperation you and I have in NATO, the personal cooperation we have, but also, of course, the close cooperation between Italy and one of our most prominent and founding members, Italy. It is also a real honor to be here at this meeting for friendship among peoples, the Rimini meeting. And this is actually my first visit to Rimini ever. I appreciate very much to attend this meeting, but I also understand that next time I have to go for holiday to Rimini. I really admire your dedication of bringing people together in the spirit of open dialogue, mutual respect and optimism. And the world could really use a healthy dose of the Rimini spirit right now. I want also to take this opportunity to thank Italy for all its contributions to the Alliance. You are the second biggest contributor to NATO operations and missions. Italian soldiers serve in our multinational battle group in Latvia. Italian jets are conducting joint air policing in Bulgaria. You also lead NATO's peacekeeping mission in Kosovo. Italian troops play a key role in the fight against terrorism, both in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. You host our joint force command in Naples, including NATO's new hub for the south. And Italy is a strong voice for dialogue and diplomacy. And I really thank you for all those contributions to our shared security. Today, I want to share a few thoughts with you about the role that NATO plays in preserving peace and promoting stability. We are a defensive alliance of 29 members, united by shared values, democracy, individual liberty and the rule of law. Our dedication to peace is etched into our founding treaty. A treaty, as it happens, came into effect exactly 68 years ago today, on the 24th of August 1949. So actually today we are celebrating the anniversary of NATO. For the last 68 years, the purpose of NATO has remained the same: to preserve peace. And we do this by promising to defend one another. And the core of our alliance is Article 5, our collective defense clause, which clearly states that an attack on one will be regarded as an attack on the whole alliance. All for one and one for all. This pledge has helped us to preserve peace in Europe for nearly 70 years. One of the longest periods of peace and stability in Europe's turbulent history. While our core mission to preserve the peace is unchanged, the way we carry it out depends on the security environment. And today we face the biggest security challenges in a generation: a more assertive Russia and instability in the Middle East and North Africa. Let me discuss each of these challenges in turn. First, Russia. Russia is NATO's largest neighbor. NATO does not seek confrontation with Russia. In fact, after the end of the Cold War, we worked hard to forge a strategic partnership with Russia. But Russia's aggressive behavior has undermined trust, stability, and security in Europe. In 2014, Russia illegally annexed Crimea, the first time since the Second World War that one European nation has taken territory of another by force. And Russia continues to destabilize eastern Ukraine. It is a conflict in which nearly 10,000 Ukrainians have been killed. This has dramatically changed our security environment. NATO has a two-track approach to Russia: defense and dialogue. I am a strong believer in dialogue. And last year, I was granted an audience with His Holiness Pope Francis, whom I greatly admire. And I fully agree with His Holiness when he said that dialogue is what brings peace. Peace is impossible without dialogue. Therefore, NATO continues to seek a more constructive and predictable relationship with Russia. To preserve peace and to create a better relation between NATO and Russia. And to encourage Russia to act within the norms and the rules of the international community. Transparency and predictability are critical, especially when tensions are high. With more military forces and more exercises along our borders, the risk of unintended incidents or accidents increases. We have to do everything we can to prevent mistakes or miscalculations from happening. And if they do happen, to make sure they don't spiral out of control. So despite our differences, we continue to engage in political dialogue with Russia. But no one should doubt the readiness and resolve of NATO to defend its allies. That is what deterrence, preserving the peace, is all about. Since 2014, the NATO alliance has significantly reinforced its collective defense. Not to provoke a conflict, but to prevent the conflict. All our measures are defensive, transparent, proportionate, and in keeping with our international obligations. The other major challenge we face comes from violent instability to the south of the alliance. Instability that has forced millions of people to flee their own countries. As you in Italy know only too well. Instability that has also bred extremism and has inspired acts of terrorism. Last week, we saw another brutal attack, this time in Barcelona. It follows similar attacks in Nice, Berlin, London, and elsewhere. These attacks use low-tech weapons, cars, trucks, and knives to devastating effect. In our free and open societies, it is very difficult to prevent every attack. We cannot just close down our cities, but we should not accept terrorism as the new normal. We should not allow our values, our free societies, to be undermined. Our societies have faced the threat of terrorism before, and we have prevailed. Many of you here are too young to remember, but in the 70s and in the 80s, terrorist groups like ETA, the IRA, and the Red Brigades were responsible for far more deaths than we see today. At the time, it seemed an impossible challenge to overcome. But we did, and we can do it again. If we stand by our values, if you are resilient and determined, and if we are strong and united. Thanks to our military, police, and intelligence, there have been no more attacks of the scale and complexity of 9/11. Al-Qaeda is far from the force it once was. And ISIL has lost most of its territory in Iraq and Syria. But the threat is still there. and there is still much more to do. Together we have many tools available in the fight against terrorism. And we have to use them all. We need to fight radicalization at home. We need our police and intelligence services to investigate and protect. We need political, diplomatic, and economic efforts to bring an end to conflict and to negotiate and sustain peace. And yes, we need the military to counter and defeat groups like ISIS. In this collective endeavor, NATO cannot do everything, but it has an important role to play. Tackling the root causes of terrorism and instability is not only about what we do at home, but also about what we do beyond our borders. That is why NATO remains committed to preventing Afghanistan from again becoming a safe haven for international terrorism. And why we train Iraqi officers to counter terrorism in their country. We are also increasing our support for partners across the Middle East and North Africa, with a range of different training and defense programs with partners including Tunisia and Jordan. We are now preparing to help Libya to build security institutions. And we are working with the European Union to deal with the refugee and migrant crisis in the Aegean Sea and in the Central Mediterranean, and in promoting stability in our neighborhood. Because, to put it simple, if our neighbors are more stable, we are more secure. Here NATO can play a crucial role, building on decades of experience and partnerships with more than 50 nations and organizations around the world. It is only by working together that we can make real and lasting progress towards peace. So, ladies and gentlemen, 68 years ago today, the NATO Treaty came into force. Since then, NATO has worked hard to preserve peace and promote stability in Europe and beyond. Today we face the most serious security threats for a generation. But I am confident that we can prevail against all challenges, because our values are stronger. Freedom, democracy, and open societies will always prevail over hatred, violence, and intolerance. And united behind our common values, there is no threat we cannot face, and no challenge we cannot overcome. So therefore, once again, thank you for inviting me to this important platform for dialogue and peace. Thank you so much.